Okay, everybody take your seat. I'm chairing from back here now. Everybody take your seat, please. Stop talking. Take your seat. If you want to continue conversations, please step out in the hall. No more talking in this room, except by Brian DeShazer. He's the only one who's going to be talking now. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
Hi, everybody. My name is Brian DeShazer, as Margie just said. Thank you, Margie. Thank you for being here at the Pacifica National Board. I am the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. And I've thank you. Yay, Pacifica Radio Archives. And I've been the director since 2000, and I was actually in the archives since 1998. And in that time, I've seen a revolution of sound and technology take what used to be reel-to-reel tape that was unknown to anybody other than was sitting in that room. And the only way that you could get access to it was by ordering microfiche, finding the library, looking it up, and then calling the archives and ordering what would have been a cassette tape or a reel-to-reel. And that was when people had to know what Pacifica was before they even knew to look. And what we have now is an actual revolution to where internationally, globally, there's access to the recordings at an exponential rate that actually makes me as proud as I could be that this career of mine at Pacifica has brought this collection to such astounding recognition from the National Archives and Records Administration at the National Historical Publications and Records Commission, who funded us $128,000 this year to start a two-year project to preserve and digitize and make accessible 1,700 recordings of the women's movement from 1963 to 1982, covering all five Pacifica stations. And we just finished the first 3 months of that grant and reported to the National Archives that so far we're okay. But the headline is that I am very concerned about the future. And just a quick show of hands from the board of directors. Were you able to read the board report when I sent it digitally? Yeah. Or do you have read it? Okay, so there's a few of you that have gone through it, and you know, there's links in the email one that aren't necessarily in the printed version. But I also want, so to start off with, one is that we are in the first 3 months of this quarter of the fiscal year, $111,000 in deficit. It's the largest deficit the archives has ever seen, and we have some real problems with the cash flow and the plans throughout the network. $75,000 of that $111,000 is the shortfall from the November two-day fund drive that the archives produced and hosted. And the rest of it is in central services from three of the stations are now have not paid their shared services 2.5% since October. And we just recently just got the numbers to know what they owed us. So there's some real problems with the archives being seen as part of the network and not just a vendor to be put on the pile of pay or not pay. And I'm really disturbed by it, and I really hope that in this report I said that this board meeting needs your action to ensure and protect the bread and butter of the revenue streams that the archives depends on to in order to get the grants that we are doing this astounding work. And I really can't leave this city without knowing that you are going to support, endorse, and force. Oh, that was really good. that was good. Write that down, somebody. That 2.5% is an assumption that the listeners give to the station when they make their donation, that they're paying to the network, not just the programmer who's hosting that show. So I'm here as the representative of the archives. There's nobody on the board that has been elected to represent the archives. There's nobody on the LSBs that is there to represent the archives. I'm it, folks. So when I'm accused of having taken it too personally, you're damn right I've taken it personally, because if I don't, I don't know who will. So there we go. That's my speech for the moment. But I do want to show you the exciting stuff. As you know, when Pete Seeger passed away, the archives has enormous amount of audio of Pete Seeger. And in 2006, we actually went to Pete Seeger and did a long-form documentary that got rebroadcast over the aftermath of his passing, and we were very proud that has been was also seen by ABC News, Diane Sawyer, and PBS NewsHour knew of our recordings and called us to have some of the clips aired. If we didn't have the database, if we didn't have the work that we've been doing, they would never have known that we had material to request. So let's move forward. This is our website, the Pacifica Radio Archives, where you can see and listen to some of Pete Seeger. We also have a new feature here on the right, which is our Twitter account. We've been, in the past 3 months, we had a part-time person increase in our social networking, and that actually did pay off. We doubled our sales. We doubled our unique requests from online. So we have new people in our donation database that we could mail out to. We recently did a direct mail. I'm going to get to another website in a second. This is the one I want to go to. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, so now, some of these, you know, as we do grants, as we do digitization and making tapes accessible, partners and collaborations come with it. And this is the pop-up archive that is run by Ann Wooten and Bailey Smith out of UC Berkeley, working with the Kitchen Sisters. They got a large grant, and we are one of the major collections of the pop-up archive. And what happens is this is volunteer crowdsourcing, where our materials and metadata is there for people to transcribe. And you'll see, we'll look at June Jordan here for a second. Is it running?
Where is she?
There she is. So what happens is, when you listen to it, there's an automatic transcription that happens. There you go. You can see some of the words here. So as it scrolls down, you'll see the transcription follow along, and volunteers will go in and correct that transcription. Boy, those tones are awful, aren't they?
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get up.
Brian, what's the software?
Actually, I don't know the software. There you go. So now you can see she's talking, and the subtitles are playing along with it. So volunteers are going in and correcting those, and then we'll have actual transcriptions that we can then consider for publication. Or then the responsibility is that the archives takes it on to complete that transcription. Now, the next part that makes it really exciting is Pop-Up is collaborating with a company called Amara, which is another crowdsourcing volunteer team that takes YouTube videos and then does subtitles. But what's really exciting is then they can translate it to other languages. So this is Pauline Kael's last broadcast from KPFA in 1965, I think. I mean, it has now been translated to English, Chinese, Hebrew, Italian, Russian, Spanish, and Vietnamese. So if you think about the hearing impaired not having radio, if you think about a transcript as being their only entryway to radio, this is a way that the pace of radio happens and the subtitles happen at the same time. I said it to play and it's not playing, but you kind of get the idea, I'm hoping. So there's like a community that tells you how many followers there are. And so we have a team of translators and transcribers that are working on the materials. And it's just the beginning of that project. So going back to the funding and why we get central services and why our premiums and our program services to the stations are important and why our website is important and our 800 number is important and our fund drives are important is because it really does matter. In terms of the mission of the founders of this institution, they wanted alternative viewpoints to get out there. They wanted it to be disseminated as far and wide as they could. And at that time, they only had the broadcast stations. But now look at what we have. Now look at what we can do with a recording from 50 years ago or 60 years ago. You know, Indian Tales, Jaime Daungalo, which was the oldest surviving recording in public broadcasting from 1949. We just put that up on From the Vault maybe a few months ago. It was one of the most popular programs that we saw. Storytelling. So I'm appealing to you, the board, to, you know, engage with the board report, read the board report, look at the links, you know, discover the archives through some of these collaborations, and know that we can't do more. We can't even complete the grants that we're already in unless we get past this $111,000 deficit in the first quarter. Now, I know there's a lot of dependency on the CPB money coming in, the fund drives being more successful. But one thing is for sure, if the general managers and the business managers and the management at National Office does not protect and see the archives 2.5% being a part of the obligation of the foundation in their job, we really are going to close the doors of the archives and forfeit the grants. And I'm not kidding. We're going to have to, because there's no other way. There's not enough investment, time, and development to do all the other revenue streams that we're trying to do. We signed up for the Donate Your Car. We're going to be signing up for telemarketing, possibly. We're researching that. Events in cities. You name it, it's on the budget. but there's only so much that this small staff of the archives can do. So I'm going to appeal to you again to support the national office and the general managers in making sure, maybe here's a good idea, can there be one person on this board that at every board meeting asks the question, did the archives get their central services? That's all I ask of you.
I can do that.
Thank you. Because apparently you don't know that the stations are not paying their central services and we're behind to the point we're going to be breaking. 2 weeks ago, we only had one payroll. That's not good when you have matching grant.
Okay.
And can I say one more thing?
Sure, sure.
And then and the last thing is that we did get a grant from the California Audiovisual Preservation Project, CAVPP. It's equivalent to about a $10,000 grant. We got another 100 recordings of California history, including Jaime Duunglo's Indian Tales, which will be preserved and available through California Light and Sound Project. And now I'm done.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is this on? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Brian. And so now we have, let's say, 15 minutes for board question and responses. And I'm going to go around the room. I'm going to start with Tony Norman because he's sitting right here. Let's say 1 minute for questions, 2 minutes for answers. We'll try that. Up to 1 minute, up to 2 minutes. And I really please people, ask questions. I don't think we need speeches at this time of night. Just questions. Go ahead,
John. What about the gentleman next to you?
Go ahead, Rodrigo.
I just wanted to ask, you know, who's supposed to pay the central services and why is not the money getting there?
I don't know. It's usually the business manager at the stations or the general manager that, you know, signs the check. But it's an automatic. I mean, we've never had this problem. And as long as I've been here, we've never had a problem getting the central services from the business managers. But now we can't get the information out of the business managers and I can't get the information out of the managers. Like, we just recently got the numbers from October of what is 2.5% of their listener support. And yeah, I'm confounded as well.
I'm going to take my 1 minute. I had the opportunity to do a tour of the archives maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
Right.
And I was just amazed of the things that's there that we don't, the interviews that they did. This is what's going to save Pacifica. The things that are there when we look at licenses to documentaries, they have interviews with Malcolm X, Dr. King. They covered the RFK assassination. Just all of the major moments in American history are there unused in that archive. I think if that's used properly, that's a revenue source that will save this entire foundation. I was staggered by the stuff that's there, the philosophers. But I know you want to answer questions, but I'm saying I think we need to look at a revenue source more than just that 2%. Because, and I have to say this, and I have to take the time to say this. This is the time we need to spend national board meetings on. That is a resource that will save this foundation. If you know what's there, I saw what's there. Go there. And I have to make that appeal.
Thank you, Tony.
I'm going to make a statement as well, an appeal, rather than a question. So I'm Heather Gray. I'm an affiliate director from WRFG in Atlanta. I have interviewed Brian quite a bit on my show, which is always appreciated. I agree with Tony. This is just a treasure that we have. It's just so incredibly important. And I just wanted to mention to you all that I've talked with some folks on the board and talked with Brian about this in the past. We have explored the possibility, for example, of working or sharing information with the NAACP, mm-hmm. getting it out to all of the chapters around the country. The point being that a lot of people and a lot of organizations are not aware of this amazing treasure trove that we have. And so we are going to be talking with NAACP about that this year, Brian.
We
will move forward on that. But I'm mentioning that some of you all might know some other organizations as well that should be informed and would relish the opportunity to know more about the archives. So I want you to thank you for your great work. It's just wonderful.
Thanks.
Look forward to talking more about that this year.
Thanks. And also I want to acknowledge the rest of the staff at the archives, Sean Dallas, Mariana Berkovich, Joseph Gallucci, Jolene Beiser, and Mark Torres and Edgar Toledo, who are my partners in this game. They're terrific. Go ahead.
ahead, Janet.
Janet Coburn, KPFA. Yes, thank you very, very much for all your work and dedication. I want to offer a proposal that Andrea Pritchett proposed to the KPFA local station board that we haven't gotten to yet, and it'll be changed a little bit because she called it Pacifica membership, and perhaps we can talk about Pacifica Archives membership. I don't know if you have thought about this, but here's her idea. $50 per year for basic membership. Each member would be provided with a unique member account number. Members could access archives of shows produced for national audience, Democracy Now, FSRN, well, anyway, others. For $100 per month, all of the above, and access to Pacifica Archive historical audio recordings. These recordings will not be downloadable, but can be listened to online. Additional access to special programs as they become available. In any case, the idea of a membership, I know it would require extra work or initially, but have you thought about that?
I get it. Yes. Actually, there's a little little massaging to do with that proposal, but Janice Lane Ewart and I spoke actually at the last board meeting a year ago in New York about the idea of a broader membership or subscription service from the archives. And as we've been doing to the digitization and making them accessible, and the idea that, you know, when we get grants from the Grammy Foundation or the National Endowment for the Arts or the National Historical Publications and Records Commission, I have to say that because I'm so grateful. Part of it is the intention to let it be out there for free, you know, having free stream. So that at the Internet Archive, there's over like 300 or 400 recordings that are free streams, but to license them or to do anything else with them, they have to come back to the archives. And we've also been working with copyright and a takedown policy and things like that. But what Janice and I were thinking about is like a monthly thing where you would, you know, sort of like the Flowers of the Month Club, but there would be a club where you could access history that's newly digitized. In other words, it wouldn't have been something that is digitized 5 years ago, but it's like the new releases. So yeah, I think we're going to be working on that. When did you say you're coming to town?
In May.
So in May, Janice and I are going to sit down and try to structure that out. So thank you.
Jim. Yes. Jim Brown, WPFW. I want to thank you also for the wealth of information that you have available and that you provided for us over the years. And I wanted to ask if there is any thinking or any way of looking at other ways of including what Janice just talked about, ways of shoring up the finances for the archives in a major way so that you don't have to depend on say if you didn't have to do the fund drive every year, you know, which in some cases taxes the same audience that the radio stations have. Is there any thinking of doing something different or more substantial?
Yeah, in our budget, we've like put in 8 new revenue streams that we're trying to explore, and the fund drive for the archives, the one-day fund drive, came in 2002 when the foundation was $5 million in debt and central services wasn't coming in. And we did about $180,000 a day that first day. And then as we've been doing them, we had to add a day to meet the goal and add a day to meet the goal. And now we're only doing about, I think we did $150,000 in 2 days this past November. So you've seen the effect of the multiple fund drives at the stations happening. So, of course, we've always been trying to diversify. But we also want to be careful that we're not seceding or separating from the foundation itself, nor that the foundation listeners understand that their money is going to part of that collection and the heritage and the legacy of these incredible stations. It's really valuable.
Thank you. Benito.
No questions.
Lydia. No questions.
Well, you don't.
Oh, I need.
Well, no, but I mean, I think I'm just going to chime in on the, and this is an overall foundation problem because this structure, including our central services structure, is archaic by Pacifica standards. It's been around for 10 years or, you know, well, longer, but it was adjusted and the hike to central services was a temporary increase that never went back down and whatever. But I've never really understood, you know, at what point archives was a separate unit without the ability to act to do what stations do, which is to have several on-air fund drives. Not that I'm recommending that, because obviously not. Whereas it could be the major resource. Those of us that have finance committee reports and updates and so forth realize how much of what we take in goes out the door, and I don't mean out the door in a bad way, by the way, but to premiums, and yet there we have an in-house resource. So I think we need to talk during the strategic session about something, and, you know, I hope, oh, you're not around on Sunday. But anyway, give us some suggestions offline or online.
Okay. I think I forgot to ask Lydia to identify herself.
Yeah, I'm Lydia from KPFK in Los Angeles.
Hank.
Hank from KPFT in Houston, Texas. I've always loved the idea of the archives. I think every program on every station should be archived in perpetuity so that people can always look back and either remember the good old days or get a point of information, whatever it is they need. Personally, I kind of like the idea of little 1 or 2 gig thumb drives with particular stuff on them, and have that just be an ongoing availability all year at all stations. How could that be wrong? We sell stuff during the fund drives one way or another, however you want to look at it. But this is something that's specifically for the archives, specifically for us, and it doesn't have to be 3 weeks of buy this thumb drive. Just, you know, a couple of times a week mention that they are available, you know, and have it be, you know, as steady as it'll get.
Great. That sounds like a great idea. I'd like to talk to you more about that because I have questions about what you just said.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. No questions. Manije, who are you?
Manije Saba from WBAI. First of all, I want to thank you for your insight and forward-looking vision that has brought the archives to what it is. I also want to say that the archives is our community's library. As much as funding can be come, and I have talked to Brian a little bit, and I know that he's trying very hard to get other fundings, but we can't be like U.S. government and U.S. Congress that they are closing schools and they are letting these kids to do whatever somebody else take care of them, because when we do that, we are going to be writing the obituaries of Pacifica as a whole. So I would ask you first, and I propose that I would propose a motion with the problems that you think you have, that first of all, the PMB requires that first I know that you are planning to get all the information.
Your time is up, Manage. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, your time is up. So
can I finish my sentence?
Okay.
You are trying to capture the the broadcasting that is comes online now, but all the past broadcasting, one copy of everything to be sent to the archives. This tribal behavior that this is mine, I want to keep it to myself, is not theirs. It's not no station. It's Pacifica's. We should give it to them. And also, I would like to
have a question?
No, I want to just for everybody to hear and see Brian what his response is.
But you've taken more time than anybody else. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so just finish, okay, please.
To give to archives whatever the 2.5% for all those who can afford it, and at least a percentage of what the obligation of each station is, even if they don't have much money, to show that they are really committed to fulfill this. Because, for example, Brian says WBAI hasn't paid anything for
Thank
a whole
you.
Year.
Manage, you have to.
They should
be
obligated to set a small percentage of it.
Okay, yes. Thank you. Got Janet, do you have a question?
What is your thought about having something like this?
Okay, you want Brian to respond.
Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead, Brian.
I wasn't really quite sure where the question was, but I think I'll go back to the recording all, having copies of everything. At KPFK, we had a T1 line where we have a computer and record 24/7 for the past 5 years. So we have everything from KPFK, and all we have to do is know the day and time of the program to retrieve it, sort of cherry picking. But digitally, it's sort of like packed away. And Otis and John have been recording in some fashion and somewhere some of the other stations, and we have audio port to cherry pick from. But there's definitely is no system or processing or procedures of collection. So a collection policy is the formal term for archiving. And we aren't there yet. It's always been vague and, you know, if a tape survived, send it to the archives. It's under your desk and you want to clean your desk, send it to the archive. Somebody dies, come clean their garage. I've done that. So, you know, there hasn't been a collection policy. So if we have, we now have a server at the archives, which is brand new, and we have like 30 terabytes. We have the capability right now to retrieve and receive all five stations 24/7. We just need, you know, like five fork stations, five T1 lines, and we can actually record 24/7 all five stations and not lose it. That would be a really great project. It takes money. It takes space. We don't have money. So, there you go.
Thank you. Janet. Coleman.
Thanking you. I'm Janet Coleman from WBAI. Thanking you enough will take more than a minute. But, so I won't thank you enough. But I Heather mentioned hooking up with other organizations that might be a means of distributing the archives. And just to add to her list of one, she mentioned the NAACP. I'm thinking of Penn, the Organization of Writers, and and also curious to know what is. I've heard Pacifica Archives material on C-SPAN any number of times. Do you have any kind of working relationship with them, or do they just come to you every so often?
It's just every so often, but it's a really good point you bring up, because particularly with the Women's Grant, you know, when we get done with, like, officially an academic project from 63 to 82, women's movement, second wave of feminism, you know, all the colors that it comes in, the idea is to bundle clips that are relevant to the women's movement as we go into, say, Hillary's presidential campaign. What we would do is sell the bundle in perpetuity to Rachel Maddow Show. Here's your index. Here's your clips. Here they are. This is the year they're from. That it's brilliant. It's bundled. You give it to them and say, you have that forever, and you have your own library, and it's packaged in a way that you can retrieve it in the way that your editors use it. We could do that same bundle to everybody. You bundle the package that's relevant of our history and get it out there. That's what I actually want to do. We don't have, and the Women's Project is the first one that will have a, it'll be more complete than any other project we've done. So we can do that with everything, with the Vietnam era, the Black Panther Party, the Civil Rights Movement. Those things can be clipped, packaged, and then sold or licensed out in bundles. And that's, I learned that this year, bundling.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you, Richard.
I haven't gotten buzzed yet, have I?
No. Richard.
Giselle Houston.
Thank you, Brian. We thought we were helping you some time ago when we made it possible for the 2.5% to be paid directly from the stations. But I understand that none of the stations are doing that.
There's three of the five that aren't doing it right now. WPFW, WBAI, and just as of October, KPFA hasn't paid the central services. And KPFT is up to date, and KPFK, at least we got their numbers, and I think they're waiting for to make just the last month's payment.
So we just need to pay our bills,
huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just got a note to specify if PFW pays its central services. I think it's been a year, like this fiscal year plus last fiscal year, WPFW has also joined the Disregarding the Archive Central Services Club, which I'm not happy about. I don't like that club. And I do understand the problems at the stations, but you also have to understand that the archives is part of that station, and it's not a dead closet. it's a living, breathing thing that actually matters. It's making a difference. It actually makes a difference to the fund drives. You know, we can add up $4 some million over the past 10 years of money that came into this foundation that went back right back into the foundation, back to the archives. So I know it resonates to the listeners. I know the history resonates with the programmers. What doesn't seem to resonate is the people with the paycheck, or with the, you know, the pen and the checkbooks. You know, the archives doesn't invoice central services to the stations because it's supposed to be part of their job. But I'm wondering if we actually should be sending invoices in as a rather regular old vendor. I would not like that.
Okay.
Because that takes away from the understood obligation and assumption that that's part of your damn job.
Thank you, Brian. Carolyn.
Hi. Thank you. I know WBAI is keen.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm sorry, Carolyn Burden from WBAI.
No.
Okay.
Does he have a check?
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Thank you. BAI is keenly aware that we have not paid you, and I know it comes up now and then. I don't see how a station such as WPFW could say they're doing fine and not suffering badly when, in fact, it's just the consciousness problem that you raise, that the archives don't seem to matter when the assessment has not been paid to you. I don't see that a station can say it's doing well and is in the black, because obviously it's not. I did want to raise another point, though. As you know, I teach, and I still remember thanking you for that great set you gave my college.
Right.
Someone in the library purloined the entire set. I hope that children are using it. I haven't failed to find it. But I'm thinking that in terms of money, one of the probably most lucrative things you could think about is working somewhere with an educational publisher, because what you have is something that any teacher should be thrilled to have, any school system should be adopting in an attempt to help. I'm inundated weekly, daily, with stuff on AV. Most of it is garbage. I can't possibly use it.
Your time is up, Carolyn.
Yes, I'll just finish this thought. That a well-packaged collaboration with a publisher, print plus archival materials on CD for young people, for middle school and colleges, is just a fantastic resource. It would be, I think, not just
Carolyn.
History teachers, but also English or anything else.
Thank you.
So,
Brian, did you want to respond?
Yes, we did the campus campaign and developed materials and packages based on curriculum and based on interacting with professors, and some of those are required listening in colleges in California. Those two, there's three classes, U.S. History, Civil Rights, and Latino Chicano Studies at another university, and I think we get an income of maybe $3,000 a year from those three classes. It is good. But we don't have the development person or the money or the time to really invest in that kind of thing. And don't forget, we do have a second book coming out from City Lights Publishers on the Black Arts Movement, following up with our Redefining Black Power, the first book with City Lights Publishers.
No, you can't. You're out of time. I'm sorry. I apologize. send him an email. Okay, Janice.
Janice,
who are you?
Janice Lane, you are a Pacifica affiliate. You noted that you don't have a development director. I'm looking at the proposed budget for this fiscal year, where there's $80,200 noted for development expenses. Could you say what that expense is attributed to, and could you tell me who's responsible for the development of a collection policy?
Me to everything. So the development expenses in the archives budget have to do with, like, the this year we added direct mail, which is an expense in the development line. We added community events, like five of them. There's car donations. There's like five or six things that come under development. And I'm the staff person, and the staff at the archives are the people that would be doing that, which is the concern.
Thank you.
George. George is passing. Jose Luis.
We're having a successful turn from our first direct mail letter, which is going out to rented lists of feminist and feminist groups and women's magazine readers. So we're seeing a larger net thrown out to support the project for the women, but it also brings us more names to then go out and develop.
Thank you. Jose Luis. Who are you?
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. I've been looking at your finances, and it looks like end of 2012, you guys were in the negative, almost $945,000, and you did a great job of cutting down, tightening the belt, $103,000 plus by the end of 2013. How did you guys go from a $945,000 in the negative to $103,000 in the positive?
I think it was because WBAI had a standing balance of unpaid central services, and they wiped it out. Jesus. So I guess the bills are forgiven at the end of the fiscal year. So if the new fiscal budget, our business manager noted that the unpaid balances, it went to zero instead of minus 200 and something.
So it wasn't actual money.
Yeah, we're still confused about 1 year to the next year and where things are. But, WBAI hasn't paid central services for over 2 years, so we're, well over $250,000 behind if we're looking at past budgets. But I'm not really sure about your numbers, where you got those numbers, so I'd have to, look at the budget and see. And
the audits.
Okay. I still have to look at them from that context, though,
Can I just clarify that one of the figures is from the audit, the other figure is from the proposed 2013/14 budget, which I don't believe has been approved yet.
Oh, okay. I would have to look at both and see them side by side and then get a sense of which one is which before I could accurately give you an answer.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. I just have to. I mean, it is from the Consolidated Statement of Activities, the P&L statement, ending August 31st, 2013, and not from a proposed budget.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Lawrence, tell us who you are.
Lawrence, KPFK, and I'm always on guard at the archives over there, so no. No, I really appreciate the kind of material and content that you have, especially on Puerto Rican history, the Young Lords, mentioned the Black Panthers. So I was just wondering, have you ever reached out to Hunter College for the Center on Puerto Rican Studies to have a huge volume?
No, we haven't. I would love to. If you know somebody that we can connect with, I'd be happy to.
Sure, I'll definitely talk to you about that at some point.
Because we've been actually wanting to expand the Latino Chicano studies into a more, not diaspora may not be the right word, but Latin American studies rather than just Latino Chicano studies.
Okay, and just real quick, because I'm running out of time. In regards to Black History Month or African American History Month, and it's almost like I'm asking you to make a political statement, but you don't have to, you could kick the can down the road. In regards to having the Grateful Dead marathon right in the middle of Black History Month, where we have such a treasure chest of Black history in the archives.
Your time's up.
Wouldn't that have been a golden opportunity to do some education?
Oh, you're wait. No, I'm going to take the fifth on that. Because I appreciate Black History Month and the Grateful Dead.
Okay, Serene.
Okay, so thanks. I love
who
the
are
archives.
You?
I'm a woman who loves the archives. And I'm Serene Roberts, WBAI. Good to see you, Brian. I got a letter in the mail that said Pacifica Radio Archives at the top, and I think it had Summer's signature. Mm-hmm. Next time I want to just suggest a dual signature would be better, because
that was
so
the
strongly.
Plan. I was on medical leave, so I couldn't do it.
So forge it. Anyway, okay. I mean, people
are using...
I thought
about that, too, but then I thought, no, I think I would be mad if she forged it. No, yes.
Okay, because that was a little curious.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
I'm wondering how that money is supposed to be divided, because I think earlier in the year or the month or whatever, we'd heard that it was a campaign for both the National Office and the Archives. So there are two separate mailings?
Separate mailings. He gets all the money that was for Archives for Archives.
Okay, and do we know what we have so far?
Yeah, so for the record, there were two mailings, one for National Office and one for the Archives. They went to two separate mailing lists, and the revenue from the Archives letter comes to the Archives, and the revenue for the National Archives goes to the National Archives, and then the premiums for both of them come out of the Archives.
Is the National Office paying you for the premiums that are going to the mailing
Yes, they will.
So to speak?
Yes, they will.
Okay. We haven't discussed it, but it's assumed.
Okay.
The money that's come in, we sent out 23,000 and 23,000 letters, and I think we're at 6,000 now.
It keeps trickling in.
$6,000? I think we haven't peaked yet.
6,000 responses or $6,000?
$6,000.
Oh, we've got to do better than that. Anybody on this board who got such a letter, you can give them your check before you...
And we are planning to do another one here for Women's History Month, being that it's a women's subject matter. So hopefully we'll get that out now and see more from that.
Okay. In the interest of time, I'll let it go. Thanks.
Okay. Margie Wilkinson, KPFA, and I have a question that has to do with your relationship with institutions of higher learning. I contributed to
the campus campaign.
And so I'm wondering, that's not an ongoing project, and how do you build, you know, your relationship with educational institutions?
Right. Well, one way was the campus campaign was really interesting, that not only did we get feedback from the educators or teachers from the school, but the librarians. You know, one that they called back and said, well, how do we catalog this, or how do we describe it in a way that the students can find it? So we did work with librarians and somebody to help adapt the records into MARC records or whatever the code is. So we have seen We have seen students use them in dissertations, use them in multimedia productions, and particularly with the National Archives and Records Administration grant for the Women's Project, you know, that was supported, and we had to get interaction with women's study department heads from like Rutgers and Brown University and UCLA and UC Berkeley. So part of the project is to get academia into utilizing and using the materials when they're finished. The National Historical Publications and Records Commission, the grant is called Documenting Democracy, Access to Historic Records. So the idea is to not just have the audio turned into CDs, but the records created into, adapted into PBCORE, which is Public Broadcasting Code of Record Entry. Very fancy. But it creates a vocabulary that turns into finding aids, that allows that thing that I talked about before, people will be able to find these materials without knowing that that's what they were looking for, which is a really important part of disseminating this information. Did I answer your question?
You did. Thank you.
But more with academia is the better, and yes, we are working on it.
Okay.
San Francisco State University.
Any help we can give you, we shall. Send him an email. All right. I thank you very much, Brian, and I think we're done with this part. I hope the body is still up for hearing from Ursula Rudenberg.
And nobody fell asleep. I'm really happy
nobody
for you.
Fell asleep.
Very proud of you all.
And most of the board is sitting in the room.
And you haven't left.
That's right.
I haven't cleared the room. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, Brian.
Point of information.
Okay. Brian?
Does the hotel have any deadline for our vacating the room?
Thank you.
Does the hotel have any deadline for us? Okay, we're going to keep going.
Okay. Ursula Rudenberg, our affiliates director, is here to give us a presentation. She has to get set up on the computer. Ursula is an employee. Oh, just to clear it up, Ursula is an employee of Pacifica, and her job is to interact with the affiliates. Is that a fair description?
Are you the director of the affiliates program?
She is. The director, the affiliates director. She's not. Janice, did I describe her job correctly? She interacts with the affiliates. Is that right? She's busy.
She's trying to figure out how to get rid
of the affiliates, of which there are 200-plus stations.
Okay.
All right. I can't figure out how to get rid of...
Hank.
Can I make a motion that we clear the speaker? I don't want to rush her in any way, but I don't want us to spend the night sleeping on the table.
Are you trying to?
So can we do that?
I'm trying to bring my thing back up. Something about Brian's.
Okay.
I think I just have to.
Is there a second to the motion?
Could you repeat it for those who are asleep? Maybe John
can help.
Shh.
Here's Brian.
On the mic.
Use the mic, please.
Hank Lamb, KPFT, Houston, Texas, 90.1. We want you to listen. Also, my motion is that we have the speaker have her Q&A without rushing her in any way, and then we straighten out the election from this morning for the chair, and then adjourn for the evening.
Okay. And there was a second to the motion?
Second. I'd like to amend the motion.
Okay.
We do everything else but straighten out the election for the chair.
Second.
I'm not concerned about who's chair over the evening.
Okay. I'm fine with me. I don't want to go on. So let me just see if we can get unanimous consent here. I think what George is proposing is that we hear Ursula and have the question and answer period with her and adjourn for the evening and figure out what we're doing in the morning. Is that a fair description? Is there any objection to that? Thank you very much. You're all very nice.
Well, we're all very tired.
No fight left.
Fatigue
always wins.
No, this is. I do have an objection.
This is what? No, we. Oh. Okay. 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 I asked if there were any objection, and nobody said anything. George's proposal. Say it again, George. George.
Wait, Margie, can you clarify both? There was one.
Okay. Okay. Hank's original motion was that we hear from Ursula, have the her presentation and the question and answer period, and then straighten out the chair election. George's substitute motion was that we, or he made an amendment, was that we do the first two things, hear the presentation, have the Q&A, and not straighten out the chair election tonight. And I asked if there was any objection, and no one objected. I was trying to do it by consensus, but I sort of leaped over things. I apologize. So let's do a vote. George's amendment is that we drop the part about straightening out the chair election tonight. Are there any objections to that amendment?
Yes.
Okay. So there's an objection. So do you want to state your objection, or you just want to vote on it?
I can.
Go ahead. You get. You
I can do both.
Go ahead.
Wait. The mic. Say your name.
I'm sorry, Ursula. We'll be through this in a second.
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. My objection is we have a full calendar tomorrow. We have a lot of items we haven't dealt with. We've took a extra long dinner, and we need to get at least something done tonight and of this election. We still got the secretary and other votes. We should just struggle through it.
Okay. Is there anyone... is anyone else who wants to speak on the motion?
I call a question.
I'd like to speak on the motion.
Go ahead, George.
I'm tired. I have an argument I want to make. I'd like you all to be alert for it. We have to elect a vice chair and a secretary. Anyway, there's no sense doing it tonight. Let's do it in the morning.
Thank you. Does anyone else really need to speak on this motion? Okay. I see Lydia and Manage.
So as people, at least one member commented on having observed or listened to our election on the chair, I don't think we should subject more people to that process. It's a very
not terribly relevant process. Most people are gone now. It's the perfect time to not subject them to that because the election was held. And so now it's just going to be back and forth arguments on whatever. And so I think this is the perfect time. Let's get something off the table. And then, as Jose Luis said, we have so much that we have already postponed. And we still have two more offices that we have to vote for, not to mention the committees.
Holy cow. We're holding up Ursula's thing, so I want people to keep their comments really short. I see Janet Coburn and Manage, I'm sorry, you're next. Go ahead. Manage.
I'm calling the question.
Okay. The question has been called. That means we have to vote to close debate.
Is there any objection?
Is there any objection to closing debate? No objection to closing debate. George's motion is his amendment to Brian's motion. No, who was it?
Hank's.
Hank's motion is that we hear Ursula have the question and answers and deal with the election in the morning. Is there any objection to that? People. Okay, so let's take a vote. All those in favor, raise your hands. In favor of not taking up the election in the morning, essentially.
My hand is raised down here.
Okay, would somebody please count?
Wait a minute, what was that?
Yes. Tomorrow morning.
This is, Janet, are you counting? Can you count for me?
I'm unclear.
Okay, this is to hear Ursula's report, have the question and answer period, and not deal with the election tonight. Deal with it in the morning. Okay.